You need to accept your responsibility. You need to be accountable for your actions. But put yourself ahead some type of part in what you want to achieve. Doesn't matter, you achieve or not. Effort, nobody can judge the effort. I heard this recently.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. Today, I am so, so thrilled to introduce a truly inspiring guest, Mario Beckus. Mario is the hero you never knew you needed. He's not just any guest. He's a Guinness World Record holder for 2023, a passionate ambassador and activist for humanity. He's also a veteran who spent 1,800 consecutive days in combat. And with extensive experience as a military intelligence and diplomatic security intelligence operative, Mario's insights are unparalleled. He's now based in Sydney, Australia, and is a successful business owner, a best-selling author, and an academic. And he has an awesome podcast as well, which I highly recommend you guys tune into. It's called Life in the Battlefield, and it dives deep into stories of resilience and personal triumph. It's all about people who have faced some of life's toughest challenges and come out stronger. Every episode's a powerful reminder of what it means to overcome adversity with intimate interviews that will leave you feeling inspired. Mario, welcome to the show.
Baby, thank you very much for having your podcast. And I'd like to say thank you to all of your listeners and viewers to this amazing podcast, Inspire to Thrive.
Mario, your journey has been nothing but incredible. And I'm just so thrilled and so honored to have you here. Like, I see your stuff on TikTok all the time. I see you at networking events when I'm in Sydney or when you're in Melbourne. But every time your presence just oozes this feeling of like, yeah, we are safe. Like, it feels like you're that person in the background that just keeps people safe. And indeed you are. So I want the listeners to hear a bit more about this backstory of yours. You went from military intelligence to business owner and best-selling author and Guinness World Record holder. What is the common thread, or what's been your guiding principle through this? And how did you get to where you are today? Tell us your story.
Baby, first of all, thank you again. It's a true pleasure to be. I don't say this lightly about things. People are kings or queens about something, but I want the audience to know that when I met Phoebe a few years ago, she helped me quite a lot with my social media when I was really sucking badly, you know what I mean? And I was thinking no better than Phoebe, which is not true. Still not, don't know. But we are all open to learn. In life, either you learn or you fail. There's no other options, you know what I mean? You learn, you adopt, you adjust, improvise, and move forward. My life story starts with, of course, with it involves the woman, seven dwarfs, and unhappy childhood. Look, I grew up in a typical communist family. My parents were, my father was a hard commie, proletariat, union leader, long live the communism, long live the Stalin, Tito, and everything else. On the other hand, my mom, she was a very different person. She was a kleptomaniac, and she was stealing people and blame me for everything. And I was always receiving end. So eventually I ended up in juvenile at age 12 because I stabbed a person twice with screwdriver. And my grandfather took me at age 14, and he says to me, I'm going to send you military school. That was difficult for me to accept because I knew it. I can't enroll because I have no grades for this. And he told me, your grandfather. So I was very grateful and thankful that my grandfather was a highly positioned communist. He was second in charge of Yugoslav secret police. So he had a lot of connections, and he put me in military school. And then comes the love, I met a woman of my dreams, 14 years of age. And then happened something what I first time tested in my life, be careful what you wish for. I said, I want to be soldier in a war. And then civil war broke out in Yugoslavia. My love is going on the other side, and my parents dumped me, literally. They left me a message on the table, we are okay. I didn't saw them for 3 years. So at age 18, I was in the middle of the war, tried to be the national hero. And literally after 6 months, I said, I have enough. I just want to die. I literally want to die. I was I was cold, I was hungry, I was miserable. We were losing war, retreats, and continuously in the middle of the winter, minus 25, we are still in the summer uniforms. And the miracles start happening slowly. And I mean, for me, my government sent me to schools and many courses. And I was a good for my government because I was not married, I was have no kids. I was a very tip of the spear for them. So they sent me all these schools, which, acquiring human intelligence, industrial espionage for the purposes of military capabilities, as well, all these courses for the sabotages, diversions, behind enemy lines. And it was a good one. So eventually, 98, I said to myself, I'm done. And that was my transformation from military to foreign affairs. And then 98, I was successfully transferred to the foreign affairs in something was called then Directorate 7, I can say that one. And after certain schools and academies and trainings, I was being sent in Australia, Croatian Embassy in Canberra to work as a head of intelligence and security. But Phoebe, you know that Canberra, you wake up in the morning, all the skippies around you. So I said to my boss, get me back home, I can't do this. So they transferred me to the Sydney because Canberra was a little bit too boring for me. And that's it. That's my start.
Wow, that's amazing.
Thank
Like
you.
every time I hear your story, it's like I'm rereading your book or hearing it for the first time again. And there's always like tiny little details that just truly amazes me. Like,
Thank you,
you
Phoebe.
don't
Thank you.
have a ordinary story. And I mean, you so humbly said, yes, of course it starts with love and childhood. And I mean, I think everyone's story starts with childhood and then, there's love and we grow
Yeah.
and it makes us wiser. But yours is definitely unique. And you spent 1,800 consecutive days in combat.
That's great, yes. So from the 14th of July to the beginning of the 96, it's still a little bit more, a little bit longer. But officially, the government gives me the numbers, to because they said this is you, this is the it's 1,875 days, I think, something like this. But when you put it total, that's 5 years in total. That's a lot of days. And I was very young. I was age 24, 96, yeah, 24, 96. I need to calculate. I'm still becoming old. So I was 24 years old. I had enough. Just the war is the most horrific experience for anybody because it's not just people dying that people, you're living in misery every day by day. And then you see when the war finishes, actually, you question everything because I lost the hair. I was wounded a few times. I lost my friends. And suddenly, people don't need the war heroes anymore, right? They need the smart people to lead the government, to lead the sectors and factories. But that was a blessed enough that I was a select, I was a prospect for my government. So after 5 years in the military, sorry, in the combat, I was transferred to the then that was a part of military police, that entire establishment for the security intelligence services. And I said to myself, oh my God, look at this, the desk, this uniform smells nice. And it was a good transition. So
It's a
it's a lot of
change. It's a huge change. Mario, how did you like, firstly, how is it that you are the person that you are today and you're not like stuck in bed? Or how did you overcome what a lot of people probably would be scarred from with PTSD and like be suffering with all sorts of challenges that make it hard to operate in the world? Like, you not only have you overcome that, your mindset, your resilience, the way you are now, you're still continuing to do good in the world. You're still contributing to the
Thank you.
world in such a positive and impactful way, in your own way, with your own touch. Like, how did you manage to do that? How did you come out and just like transition into an office, for example, and not be weighed heavily by all the things that you saw? Or does that impact you from time to time?
Well, the moment when I left the military, that was on 3rd of May, 98. I remember midday. It was such an awkward moment. Suddenly there's a badge and gun goes, all these weapons, the uniforms, and you have a small celebration. But the moment when I was walking towards the door of the army barracks, the world, it's like, I'm not sure they remember that movie, Castaway, with Tom Hanks, when he leaves the island and suddenly disappearing in the horizon. So the military was finishing, and I was ready on a train to take a new position. I got a suit and different badge, different guns, and all these things. But the fact is that I struggled. I struggled for many, many months. I struggled. I had many bad dreams during the war. And I'll not lie to you. I was, when you're young, everything is possible. And I said to people, be careful what you put inside yourself. See, I was in position of privy, the government. I was in presidential guard and I was in special forces at the beginning. So like I was having access to all these drugs enhancements, you know, that smokes, the alcohol, everything else. But then when I was in diplomatic intelligence, I knew that I need to find my different purpose. So there's no army anymore. There's no military. I always tell people, you need to find yourself the goals, key objectives. What do you want to achieve in your life? Because that's what, you know, gets you from point A to point B. I don't know, Phoebe, I lie. People who say like, you know, you need to do this or that. I know how to do it, but how this is going to manifest, how it's going to happen, I'm not sure. I said to myself, I need to change profession from military to something, and happened. I manifested like in my head, whatever it is. I move into the foreign intelligence department, but I was continuously need to get my certain new goals ahead of myself. I want to achieve this, I want to achieve that. When I started my business in intelligence in 2009, it was the most horrific time. I was on a peak in corporate world in Australia. I was a young vet. I have a kid who's a seven years old then. When we and his mother lost a job, our marriage was going to drain. We lost the home, become homeless. My son has been diagnosed with epilepsy. So the life hits you so hard. And then I reached something what most of people do. And I'm so feeling pissed off in myself that I was blaming everybody for my mistakes. It was my choice. People need to be prepared. You need to accept your responsibility. You need to be accountable for your actions. But put yourself ahead, some type of part of what you want to achieve. Doesn't matter, you know, you achieve or not. Effort, nobody can judge the effort. I heard this recently. So I said to myself, to avoid all these tricks of the life, you know what I mean? You know, when you're up, you think you're invincible. Happened to me. I was the guard intelligence. I was a spy. I mean, I can share these things, but then life hits you hard. I stayed in Australia. I married, you know, to the woman who done everything for me, you know, educate me, put me in the right path, and so these things. But then how I returned, it was actually I escaped from the problems in 2009, you know, because I blame everybody and it wasn't a good thing. So I need to go back, retrace, and put myself in direction so I can work my ass off for the goals I want to achieve. So I said to people like you, Phoebe, you help hundreds of people. You know, every day people call, yeah, I want to be famous. I want to be this, you know. You need to listen to everybody. Your brain is there to help other people. So I said to people, just put yourself some goal ahead of you. Doesn't matter how big or small it is. You don't need to explain yourself or justify yourself to nobody what it is with your life, as long as it's legal, above the board.
Amazing, amazing. You've written a best-selling book too. And obviously that process of writing about your life experiences, I can imagine, was very cathartic. What was that process like for you? And did that help you get your message across to more people?
You're going to agree with me. You know, like, you speak perfect English. It's your language. And I mean, I was coming to Australia. I didn't know English. My government just sent me here, right? Say, you're going to learn on the field. You need to adjust, adapt, improvise. That was always that motto, you know what I mean? It's like, oh my God. All I knew it was how to swear on English, which I welcome. You know, it's like American movies. There was a stage in my life when I started my business in 2009, 2010, Eastern Intelligence. And then I realized very quite early that I'm fighting against much more stronger people in Australia, much more established businesses, people who know each other. I had nothing. In that very moment, I met two people. I'll tell their names, who helped me even today to become what I am today in the shape, the size, and form they expect me to become. That is to become Mario Bekesh, you know, the face. So Professor Klaus Mohmann first told me, you should write a book. Professor Troy Whitford told me you need to study. I said, like, were you both telling me that I should do something which is in language I don't understand? And I was afraid. So Professor Clyde told me it's not what you by nature, it's by what you nurture. And Professor Troy Whitford told me, don't worry when you start study, which took me extra time. They say, you just send me essay, I'm going to tell you where to correct yourself. You know what I mean? So nobody writes nothing for me. But still, I have a struggle, Phoebe, which even today, I need to ask professionals to help me with the big documents. So Clive told me, instead of writing book, he said, you record the book. I said, okay. So this is simple steps I said to people. I took the mic, I was sitting in the car, I put mic, coffee. I was smoking those days, 10 years ago. And once upon a time, I was a hero. So I'll send the audio to call the website rev.com. They'll transcribe my English into something called the English. And then, lucky for me, again, people appear in your life. His name is Nick Hill. He's left Melbourne last year. He's going in the US for the new position. He's a big journalist. He says to me, let me help you correct your English. And that's how I wrote the books, So like it can be done even if you have this disadvantage in language. If you really want something, there's a people like yourself, Phoebe, like your business, to help people to reach those goals. So that's, yeah, I wrote the books. And then
Oh.
Bob's your uncle. Let's go right,
Wow. I have a motto, all it takes is one person, and I believe it can go both ways. I believe all it takes is one person that can completely drag you down and ruin your life, which we'll definitely talk about a lot more in future episodes. But as you and my listeners know, I've come out of a pretty toxic relationship recently and have seen even not just me, but other people, grown men, other women, in a matter of weeks, not even months, just weeks, have their lives just completely turned upside down and their mental health almost destroyed. But at the same time, all it takes is one person, or in your case, two, to completely change your life around as well, and to just remind you of your own strength. And I think what's really powerful is you say you came to Australia with nothing. I say you came to Australia with the key ingredient, which is resilience. And that's all you needed. The language and all, I mean, now we have Chat GPT, so that must help.
Yeah, you're right. Look, it does help. And I mean, first of all, like, thank you for acknowledging. This is what makes people, in my eyes, greater. It's not. I grew up with the Rocky Balboa, and he's my hero. If I can meet somebody, Sylvester Stallone or Mel Gibson, I mean, I want to meet them alive. And Schwarzenegger, as a kid, of course. So he said, it's not how hard you can punch, but how hard you can stand up in the receipt of the punch. Stand up and moving forward. You see, Phoebe, that separates you from everybody else. And I'm seeing you don't saying how your life is terrible. You come out of a relationship. It's not easy. And I've been many of those. And life, it's cruel. I mean, it hurts us, particularly the people's actions and the words. Particularly, words can be weaponized if you put emotions. But I was looking now sometimes from time to time behind my back, which I stopped doing a long time ago. And I see people who in my life done what they've done. I'm grateful to them. Honestly, I'm always grateful for people, and you're absolutely spot on. We can bring people in life who's going to bring you up or bring you down. Unfortunately, a good portion of my life, I brought people who were holding me down. And when I realized that, I publicized my first book, and Dr. Troy Whitford, Professor Dr. Troy Whitford, he says to me, you should study. I said, like, my. Come on, seriously. It says to me, do the master's. I say, master's like this, like a 600 subjects, whatever. It's, I'm going to finish this. And what happened actually, it's I realized that I'm like a SpongeBob. I just wanted more knowledge. I got access to the books I never had in my life. I started talking to people who are in academics and intelligence and other avenues. And I said to myself, wow, this is like a new world for me. And same with you. You were that one. I say, guys, give the big credit to the Phoebe. It takes a lot of cojones to say, I stepped out of something very bad and I'm pushing myself ahead. But one day, Phoebe, I promise you're going to be grateful to that person. Trust me.
Thank you. To be honest, I already am. And it took me less than 2 months to get into a really good headspace. And normally, I would say that's 2 months too long, but this time it taught me to just be like really kind to myself and go, wow, only 2 months, Phoebe. And I would pat myself on the back each day and go, wow, I have more energy today than I did yesterday, more excitement than I did yesterday, more focus, more passion. And then day by day, as I acknowledged myself, I felt better and better. And I think that was the difference between that and when you get your heart broken when you're like 14 or 15 or 18. You learn how to come out of these dark places, no matter how messy it is. Like, it's not about how messy it is, it's actually about your ability to bounce
Yeah.
back.
No, yeah. So, like, guys, I'm the guest, but I say this always. It's easy to complain about life, but the true hero, unsung hero, like ordinary daily heroes, like a Phoebe, who come out of the problems, created by somebody else, that takes a lot. It's easy to say, like, my life is this and that. And that's what I'm admiring about you, Phoebe.
Oh, I'm so flattered and blown
No,
away.
that's true. It's true, yeah.
I mean, I want to hear about you.
Yes.
Firstly, like, you talk about social engineering modus operandi, which is
That's good.
very big words I've never heard of until we were talking about this podcast. I think maybe I heard about it when I was managing your social media. And
Yes.
my brain has this thing where it deletes irrelevant information that doesn't apply straight away or that I think isn't necessary, which I've now learned. Sometimes it's important to know things that we might not think is relevant. Like, for example, I'm now learning about personality disorders and antisocial behavior and narcissism and all the stuff that I used to go, oh, I'm not interested, I don't want to know it, you know. Now, I want to know about this because you've explained to me, and I'd love the listeners to hear more about this. What is social engineering, and why is it such a critical aspect that protects us in everyday life?
Social engineering, it's targeted, creating the targeted environment for the personal interest, right? So that personal interest needs to become the target. One thing is, police usually says personal interest, it's somebody, being related to something. When you create a target, that means critical moment, you need to attack that person. But let's go start from the beginning. Information, it's a most valuable commodity in business. No question asked. Companies pouring the money, hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars on daily basis for the cybersecurity, cyber this, cyber that. But one thing most of corporations cannot prevent, or the businesses or the governments, it's hacking human brain. There's a difference between acquiring information. It's different between social engineering. So social engineering is to create artificial environment where you're gonna entrap the target person to talk. Doesn't involve the seven dwarfs, the Snow White, this and that, but must have a credible story. So, for example, we identify person X in such a company, and we know that person has a valuable access to some informations. However, you don't know how that person is going to react or what's going to do it. So I related this to one case. So we had a many, many months ago, person on a plane. She was traveling. She was executive, and she was regularly meeting the people on a plane on the first class, next to each other, sitting and sharing the USBs and downloading, uploading everything else. So we need to find out how this is happening. So when you identify a person, you need to start doing the background checks on person. You need to understand their life, because we are all predictable. We are all in binary codes. We are all 1010. We eat in numbers. We sleep in numbers. We walk in numbers. We exercise in numbers. We're kissing in numbers. Everything is in a numbers. You just need to find the patterns. But to find the pattern takes a lot of time. So you need to use the surveillance, you need to use the social media research, like access to information, access to the people around that particular target. And once when you have all these informations, you need to find a suitable person who is going to associate themselves with that target person. On a plane, that lady, she was doing the business with a competitor, but what she was expecting, it's person next to her, it's our guy. Was just innocently trying to see his mother. Never been in first class. And they become the acquainted friends. And over the couple months, she was openly speaking how she's making money on the side. So that's what it is, you know what I mean? So you elaborate
Wow.
this one, and then you give the government, to the particular company to investigate further with the government officials. So social engineering, it's accessing, hacking people's brain. basically you're going to be identified for the some reason, how big or small you are in your organization. If you carry information, so you have access to something, the gatekeepers of the company, usually people who are, nobody's watching. Security, who is watching the watches? Cleaners. You know, we have the famous case between the Oracle and the Microsoft, where the Oracle hired a PI company. They hired, they paid a cleaner to take the old garbage out. Garbage, it's trash intelligence, so valuable. But social engineering acquiring all of this, and that's what I'm coaching. I train the clients to recognize potentially that someone's going to approach them with an innocent story in a plane, on airport, bus, a gym. You know, people love to talk, and I need to now shift this thing. Smart men don't run after some certain things. Only those who don't understand the potential danger, they're going to start impressing the women with the talking too much. And that's social engineering.
Wow. I mean, we could dive into this for such a long time. And I want to find out, like, for those that
Yes.
are listening, you've just talked about a topic I'm very, very passionate about right now, which
Yeah.
is young women and men dating relationships, because, you know, it's fresh for me as well. Now, in a scenario where someone is long-term getting information from each other, or has a target and then enters a romantic relationship with them, what kind of damage can you see that can happen?
People usually try to harm each other, but with every each passing day, information's the fading, the value of information is fading because they don't know how to use it. You know, I mean, in heat of discussion, first 7 days, it's always critical. They're going to try to use, they try to hack your account, they try to hack your phone. It doesn't work that way. You know, people say like, can you hack the phone? You think this hacking phone, it's easy. Cloning the phone, it's easy. But when there's someone next to you with a dead phone, they clone your phone. You can't just hack the phone. You like, you know, if you are smart enough, you don't click to some links. But phone hacking, it's easy to restore. You know, we just take the reset button and that restores everything. So you're not hacked anymore. By the way, those who are listening, if you believe that you've been hacked, only two things you need to check on your phone. Number one, it's your battery usage, so you can see what time is a battery is going high. And secondly, what applications continuously work in the background. That's it. So you know if your phone is being hacked or not. But in intimate relationships, if somebody, I said to my clients, because we do investigations, I said to my clients, you need to go straight away to the lawyer. And I said, like, this is the letter. They draft the letter. You know, dear Mr. Bekesh, if you're, you know, Phoebe Lay, and you finish the relationship, just figure out speech, guys. So, you know, you go to the lawyer, I say, like, I don't want to marry you, talks about me anymore. They draft the letter. It's a $550. You open your mouth, you go in the court. That's it. But people try to do damage. But when they do the damage, I said to other side, let the other person does the damage, they were gonna come to the point where they have nothing anymore, and then you hit hard, and then you hit like with everything what you have, maximum force, a single objective, and take the police. Police will take care of this one. It's hurt, it's painful, cost, but it's a part of life.
And those are battles that, you know, sometimes it's better to just walk away and just go, let that chapter close, because there are just better things to be doing and more money to be made in other ways than in a legal
Yes.
battle. And
Yes.
it's really sad when you see, I mean, I see and hear stories where I think, oh my gosh, that's messy. That's very, very messy. But just going back to phone hacking and computer hacking, like, what are your thoughts on, I mean, this is a little bit spontaneous, but what are your thoughts on what how a person should respond or react when they find that their partner has gone into their cell phone or their laptop when, you know, there was no consent? Because that's something personally I've experienced where I found that my partner was in my computer reading my text messages on WhatsApp and on my phone when I was asleep. And I still remember that day. It was a shock because it was like that whole trust system broke. And I'd love to know, like, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think partners should give each other, you know, passwords and stuff? At what point do you think that should be okay? And like, how can people protect themselves, especially people that are trusting, people that see the best in people, in others?
First of all, I want to say everybody, whatever happened to Phoebe, you can learn from this very valuable lesson. This is the lessons which Phoebe, in this case, paid very, very dearly, and that's very pricey. I'm seeing a lot of people coming to me in my business, Instant Intelligence, to investigate some things. You can't investigate everything if you don't have the plan. So you need to do the triage, right? So as somebody who's in combat, triage is usually you let to die what need to die. You try to help those who can help and, let the other people live. You need to know when to let it go. Whatever that person she did or he did, it's very important that understand if you go to police can do something, but very limited or nothing because it's a domestic things and it's not eventuated except your frustrations and anything else. People need to take a very cautious approach in any relationship to their DNA age. I wrote the article, Cyberstalking. So what they do, it's a cyberstalking. Before, people were sending letters to each other. Now they're stalking to accounts. And they're not stalking accounts, but what they're stalking their friends. If that person done this to you, what Phoebe, you need to find, who was that person with before you? So it's a two people who experience the same. I guarantee you, it's a signature. I can see the signature. A man, it's a dumbass. I say all the men, don't be dumb because it will hunt you down. And not you now, but for any future. So what you need to do, or any woman, if you're suspicious that that somebody was hacking you, your partner, current partner, ex-partner, try to assess who was the previous people they're with, because they have that as well, that burden. They had a burden as well. And that's when you're getting that momentum or traction. So that person doesn't have you on a back, has another person, another person, another person. And that's what I actually put in position to withdraw everything what they do and run away. It's not easy, it's difficult. That's like, but it's very important, two things to do. It's to inform people you love, people who care for you, what's happening in your life, what the person does, and everything to be recorded. Diary, emails, whatever it is. Just in case, something goes that path, to do it. But I said, lawyers, most importantly, lawyers are the first line of defense. They draft the letter and then they warn the other side. We know that in your romantic relationship, you've been da 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 da. You have access to this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this. It's violation of the such and such and such a thing, right? Because particularly if you never give the consent, but at least you have the letter, and if something goes, you're going to court. That's a 50% win battle. So that's what it is. And look, you ask question, people are giving the accesses. Well, really stupid. I mean, like, hiding your life. I couldn't care less. But the thing is, we don't know till we don't know. That's a sad thing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think that it's a good idea to look at how a person explains their past, what they say, what they brag about, what they talk about, and also how they talk about the previous relationships they've had with others. There are lots and lots of indicators, but that's obviously in a different episode. I talk about this extensively. And with the limited time that I have with Mario, I want to like really dive into the juicy parts because he's just got so much knowledge to give and so much wisdom behind him as well. So what are some of the common tactics used in social engineering that people should be aware of that are just really common in like everyday scenario? Not the people that are executives and necessarily have, really high caliber or high statuses in certain companies, but just everyday people. Like what are some things that we could do? Like, for example, I know that there's great screen protectors where people can't really look in onto your phone at the, off your shoulder because of the way the light reflects off the screen. What are some other like common things or, tactics that we can use to prevent and look after ourselves, or tactics that people use that we should be aware of, everyday people, that is?
Look, I give you the three examples of the real thing happen and the three things we can look for it. When I started working in foreign intelligence, I remember our boss called us to see. There was a VCR then, in 98 was a VCR. We were like, what's this? I didn't know, maybe I didn't know what a computer it is till 98. Honestly, like I just, when I heard the first time dial up, I was thinking it's a bomb planted or something. Anyway, so our boss put the camera and he says, this is the one of our colleagues. He was on lights waiting for the green to cross the street. On our lights, the red Corvette, some type of Ferrari, whatever, was stopped and there was a blonde lady inside. Our guy walks into the car and they found him 4 days later in some other country into pieces. So the distance between those two countries is 3,000 kilometers. So he fell for the woman. So man, he fell for the woman. He has a secret relationship, and you know, he ended up in the dump. Second thing it is, what we need to pay attention, it's when we're going out, and I said to everybody, it's be careful of your surroundings. Don't conduct your business in coffee shops. Don't conduct your business in foyer hotels. It's a public place. And whatever you say, you just go where the old people go. That's it, you know, the hearing aid shops, and you just buy amplifier for the ear, for the ear, and you can hear the conversations. People are giving freely and willingly information, try to impress on a plane, on a bus, in the hotel. You know, I'm the marketing expert, I'm this and that. Secondly, I'm always aware of the people who are sitting next to me and they try to position their devices next to me because mobile phones had a camera that, you know, surveillances, key rings. So be always aware that, you know, you can't always live in the fear, but what you need to be, once when they understand that you don't willingly provide informations, yeah, who cares? You know, I mean, some people are going to see me with Phoebe every day on a coffee. Who cares? But if I start discussing with Phoebe, how are we going to invade a Wonka chocolate factory? Well, that's a different story. So, so like, you know, that's why it's a secondly and thirdly, trash. Trash is a very, very powerful thing. Belongs to nobody. It's a valuable intelligence. It gives you a psychological, sorry, profiling of your life. But most importantly, always be aware. Number one rule, when the stranger approach you and engage in conversation, that's a sign that this is not normal.
Yeah,
Make sense? You know, I can
I think.
approach you in gym and say, "Hey, hi, my name is Mari Bekish. Like my six pack, maybe." And it's like, "Yee." But if I come to the gym and say, "Phoebe, is that you, Phoebe?" Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, or start engaging conversation about social media, you're gonna say like, "Yeah, how this guy knows?" But how he knows?
They are such good tips. That's so practical. I love
Thank
it.
you.
And the one that you've just shared, that very last one, which is when someone suddenly engages you and they're very charming and they're very talkative, and they seem very vulnerable, they seem very kind, very friendly. I say be careful of that. Like sometimes it's the people that we least expect that don't necessarily give us all the red flags straight away, but our gut is also very good, like usually that gut feeling. But we're not always monitoring that gut feeling, are we? We're like rationalizing it with our brain and then our hearts and our emotions. So I say, yeah, be careful. Not like overly cautious and paranoid, but definitely don't put yourself in a vulnerable position and, protect yourself. Like it's
If it's too good
very
to be true, usually it is. You say something what most of people, Phoebe,
yes.
thank you for sharing this. You are spot on. We have the emotions, which is our heart, you know what I mean? And we have the logic, which is our brain, but we're forgetting our referee, which is our intuition. And I always say to people, if it's something good to be true, like it's still going to be true. Like, you know what? Good luck. I stick with my six pack.
You.
You know what I mean? So, like,
Yeah. And like I think it's really important as well to apply logic and reason and think if it's too good to be true, like what's the likelihood of that happening for you versus why hasn't it happened for everybody else? Or why hasn't this offer come to everybody else? I always ask myself this. So I remember even when I was in the relationship with this person that lives in this fantasy world, I just thought that's your fantasy world. And, at the time I was like, I'm gonna love you, regardless. And
yeah.
just kind of think if it happens, well, lucky us. If not, then at least I didn't really waste time in like listening to these stories too much. But I have seen people be swept away by this person's stories, and I've watched it happen again and again. And now I'm starting to realize that humans, we're vulnerable when we use our hearts because it's a tender place and it's something that we should reserve for our nearest and our dearest and people that we trust, that we know, and that we've examined over a long period of time.
You're
So.
good. I said, look, people could remember Tinder Swindler. I said, like, when I watched that documentary, done even the podcast about him, and I said to myself, it doesn't make a sense. You know what I mean? The spies, the killer, the, you know, all these things. I said, like, dude, you know, But people fall because they have a need for this. We all have the needs. Trust me, Phoebe. I've been in a relationship with a psychopath, and she even pronounced me dead. But thing it is, it's a life, you know what I mean? Good luck to them. Because you know what's gonna happen? I can confirm to you with 100% accuracy. I saw the people in my life who were there to do damage to me for some reason. I don't care. They run into the person who is better than them. For some reason, I don't know, they fleece them, they destroy them. I was like, good luck. So satisfaction is going to come there. And you are just continue educating all of us. Doesn't matter, male, female, the unicorns, just do it.
And I think that I actually have learned and discovered that education is our biggest power. It's actually our the biggest key to protecting yourself
Yes.
and defending yourself and removing yourself,
That's
because
correct.
without awareness and knowledge, we are bare and vulnerable and susceptible. So, I really think I really stand for sharing knowledge, not just gaining knowledge, but sharing
Yes.
knowledge. That's our greatest strength, and that's how we break out of, like, what you just said, psychopathic manipulation. Because manipulation is all about using people's insecurities to instill ideas into their mind to make them think that it's real, right? And once you're aware of the way that the predator is targeting your weak spots, you'll be able to set yourself free out of away from the influence and close that chapter, because you learn how to use conscious defense to drive that predator away and prevent them from harming you. And unfortunately, they will continue. They will just continue to the next person, and they will discard you and move on. But it's better to be discarded. I believe it's better to be discarded than to be manipulated. And I would much rather find value and self-value in other things, myself, a higher power, our family, friends, resilience, than someone else defining my worth, which is not
I
possible.
admire you. I was like admiring you, Phoebe. And don't forget one thing. You're the woman, you're the girl. So think this about social media. When we want to know something happened in somebody's life or exes, whatever it is, what men does, it's go on social media. Men use imagination. Women, they see the picture, they imagine things, but they're reading content down below. But men, I give to answer now. How you want to give the free space, free rent somebody else's head. Man is looking everything, spends hours. That's a big. Okay, I don't want to be nasty, but I said, I was like admiring it. So, like, admiring it said from the beginning because I know you. Takes a lot of courage. In my books, everybody loves to talk about courage, resilience. Resilience is an absenteeism of the courage because, we can. I always said to people, when I was in the war, I was more afraid than being brave, right? I'd done things and then I was being declared brave. I said, I was more afraid because I want to help my buddies. I want to do some things. But courage, it's a mental state. And you have done this, educating even me, reminding me that it's possible to be being smacked in the face, but you need to stand up and push yourself ahead. And I'm wishing you truly, truly all abundance of the happiness and joy because you deserve this.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're
And
welcome.
yeah, I mean, just last little bit on this topic before we move on is, don't, I think it's important, don't just fall for people's charm and flattery, men and women. Men can fall for women's charm and flattery in a different way that women fall for men's charm and chat flattery. But that's how I really think that that's how they trigger and cater to people's deepest desires and insecurities or history of trauma or, what they're familiar with. And depending on how that predator relates to that trauma, you can be unable to see their ulterior motives. So it's
That's
hard
correct.
to resist. So yeah, it's often, I think they say that it's an emotional relief, but it's actually just a fantasy world. So don't buy into what people say. Let's go back to what we were talking about, which is, buying into this whole, like, it's if it's too good to be true, it's probably not true.
You answer everything.
Now, obviously with the rise in AI and automation, how do you think social engineering tactics will evolve? Like, do you think that They will be one step ahead through ChatGPT, or like, is that something that, what are your thoughts on that?
If I may just promote myself a little bit on in that aspect. So what I'm gonna say right now, you can read on my blogs, which is on my website, mariobeckers.com.au or insideintelligencegroup.com.au. So recently I done the podcast about crypto and how they're using the chat GPT and the AI to become more convenient to the market and the people. As you know, like we have the now. The first time was Ruya Ignatova. She fleeced people like coming like a $40 billion. Then the Sam Bankman-Fried, he fleeced the people $12 billion. All this crypto because they use the Chat GPT and the AI to create artificially blahs website, blahs prospecting. I mean, but one thing people need to remember, doesn't matter how much you're creating things on Chat GPT, don't rush decision. Everybody who pushes you, because it's a sense of urgency, you're going to lose the deal, everything else. Don't worry, they're going to lose the deal. Make it step back and ask yourself a question, what I going to achieve with this? Because I always say to people, you're working hard for your money. For example, Robert Kiyosaki, the guy who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the guy, he's owing now $1.2 billion. He's in debt. He's been bankrupt in a couple of companies, but he's like, listen, my tactics, you're going to be rich. And then I will start digging more what he was doing and he's doing now. It's applying all these chat GPT and AI, documents and how it's going to look future. Be careful of anything being presented to you. So you need to validate the intent of the person, validate the person, and validate the document, whatever was given to you. It's not hard. Just go on a doctor on a holy grail of the knowledge, Dr. Google. Go on a Google image reverse search or Tini URL. Just enter the image and search it. You say, like, is this is AI? They're gonna show you. Even let's go say if you have a picture of me, you can use my picture and go reverse image. It's gonna show you the websites and whatever it was and whatever it is. So it's gonna increase the sense of urgency, ChatGPT and AI. Which before was taking more time with the scammers and the crooks to take a time. And how the fraudsters and scammers have been educated, well, they go on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's a great resource, to learn how people catch fraudsters, how you catch criminals. So they're adapting, adjusting, and improvising their knowledge and AI towards you. So always identify the person, identify the intent, and then identify the documents given to you because it's going to increase even further. I mean, crime.
That's huge. Now, Mario, you talked about being a spy in a past life,
Yes.
and we won't go into that in too much detail, but I want to know about industrial espionage because
Yes.
I only again looked that up after knowing you. Lots, I mean, you
I'm
say
sorry.
English is my first language. I like to say it's my fourth language. My parents started me off with three dialects of Chinese and let me learn
Oh my God,
English.
they
They let
okay.
me learn English through, apparently, rumor has it, it was through Sesame Street,
Yes.
and in primary school and kinder and stuff. So I don't know this term, and I looked it up, and I'd love to know, like,
Yes.
what is it, and how is it a significant threat to businesses today? Not just high state corporate drama, but ordinary businesses as well.
When we talk about industrial espionage, there are two aspects of industrial espionage. One, it's acquiring information and other product services and technology. So, the most vulnerable industries today, still defense is number one, defense industry. But now it's a car industry, right? Electric cars and all these things. And as well, the pharmaceutical and the food industry. So that's three branches where we are, say pharmaceutical and food comes sort of same, very close because the resources coming from the same parts of the world. Industrial espionage is not just inquiring about or acquiring information, but its second part is called the sabotage. It's come from the French word sabot. It's a wooden sandals. The French people use this to stop the trains and, so sabotaging competitor on a market because eventually what people don't realize when you go into on a market, you're gonna meet many competitors, opponents. I think the SWOT analysis is the biggest blast, sidetracking people of the day, daily life. You need to have a plan what you're gonna achieve, but you need to take it into consideration. Are you thinking tactical level or strategical? Tactical level, it's like, are you on a market here in Australia or strategically going beyond reach? COVID showed us and proved us that everybody who was going and like, let's go make it money, opening factories in China, you can't access them because you can travel. So you don't know what's happening there. So in that espionage, it's not just inquiring information, but it's showing your products. So sometimes you're going to be misled to go invest and do the factories, you know, the new product lines, new services in some places we can't control, just to stop you on a longer run to cause you more damage by investing money you can't recover and it's suddenly been stopped. They can, you know, destroy your facilities, you can destroy your products, you know, destroy your services, but reputation risk and all this. But most importantly, if industrial espionage, it's our daily bread. It's people copying each other. But what the medium or large businesses do very well is they know they can't use the spies, right? So they headhunting. Oh, we're just gonna headhunt Phoebe. You know what I mean? It's gonna be, we needed somebody for social media. Let's go headhunt Phoebe, right? And that's what they do. That's what the people go on LinkedIn and scrolling down. Chinese government was very successful on this one. They acquired for past 10 years so many ex-CIA, ex-pilots, ex-this one. They said, come in China, we give you everything. Just, you know, show us how to do things, not to build, but you know what they did is actually in US, many people can't return anymore because they're being labeled as a traitors because they look and they talk about things they're not supposed to as if talk when they retire. So the industrial espionage, it's our reality, and that is acquiring information. Most prominent way it is headhunting from organization, and then they bring them. And there's no contract in the world which can stop anybody to talk because people are gonna talk. So everybody's gonna think now industrial espionage is not real, but in reality, when you see there's so many similar products on the market, either it's reverse engineering, you're waiting for a new product, or you can see the new product exceeding existing product. That's mean that they are spying on each other. So headhunting, it's a one method, and secondly, it's a sabotage, which is destroying competitor capabilities to be on a market. That's industrial espionage in a nutshell. It cost now $150 billion for last year, which is a tremendous amount of money.
Wow. Are there any preventative steps that companies or businesses can take to like safeguard their intellectual property or maybe, you know, trade secrets against these espionage threats?
Can you check? Can you hack Chinese? No, you can't. You know why? I'll tell you explain this. Can you hack now? We talk about Iranians. You can't. You know, can you hack the Russians? No, you can't. Because I was recently in Berlin, and I was doing the quad conversations with the people who used to be working for CIA, people who are living in East Berlin, and the people who work for KGB, Stasi, all these things. So I have the access to the person there in one of the museum, and he was sharing with me all these informations. And one of the informations, sorry, one of the questions are like, why the East German didn't betray their own country once when they're in US or in France or loyalty? See, the loyalty is something what the corporations don't understand. Now, that's the biggest that hurdle. Everybody talks about leadership. When you go on the market, it's a 52,100 and something books about leadership. And none of them doesn't talk about loyalty. When corporations build a loyalty, sense of they belong to the cause, bingo! Nobody wants to betray the company anymore. You know, you can offer them money because they believe the cause. So Phoebe, people who works with you, if they believe in you, they're never going to backstab you. Never. If you say to them, guys, let's go work together. Yes, I'm the boss. I take the risk and you build a company. So same in spy world. In spy world, the worst possible thing it is, it's somebody betrayed your own country. It doesn't matter how countries or government, good or bad. I have a friends, that was my job to chase chases. And I hated people who betrayed and I said, why would you done this? He said, ah, money. Well, man, you know, now you need to jump on the bridge. But thing it is, you don't do this. So you need to build that as a leader in your organization, sense belonging of your peers, but created that bigger picture of loyalty to organization. And that's the only preventative method you can do, because otherwise, in gym, bus, hotel, people go for coffee, no? You know, when you go into a coffee shop and everybody dropped their card and you know they're gonna be drawn monthly. What do you think who invented this? Coffee shop owner or the intelligence agent who comes and I pick up the card? It's like, okay, huh? Phoebe Lay, okay.
Wow, that's really,
Loyalty.
yeah, that's really, really interesting.
Thank
All
you, Phoebe.
right, Mario, I am
Yes.
just so impressed by the wealth of knowledge that you have, and I've
Thank you.
had so much fun. I'm so excited. I think that everyone that is still listening, that's like following what everything that's been said, definitely tune in to more of this on Mario's podcast, because there is an unlimited amount of information that on each of these topics in even more detail, than what we've been able to discuss today. But for those that want to get to know Mario more, I have the pleasure of asking him my famous rapid fire questions, which we're going to dive into.
Looking forward. I don't know. Please, please, Phoebe.
So Mario, five questions. First answer,
Yes.
top of your head. So first one is, if there was one thing that you cannot live a single day without, what would that be? Something physical or non-physical?
It'll be my son, Matteo. That is only one thing I can live without him, and he's gonna leave me soon anyway. But one thing, it's Matteo, my son.
That is beautiful. Oh, okay. What or who inspired you to do what you do today?
My grandfather, he told me never to become the spy like him, and I become exactly like him. So, but I was always impressed with him. Yeah, my grandfather.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, my grandfather still to this day inspires me, and he left us 2 years ago. So, yeah, that resonates deeply. Mario,
Thank you,
in
Phoebe.
5 years' time, I mean, you have achieved so much. It's insane. So, I don't know if we can even fit all the things that you see yourself doing in 5 years, but what do you want to have achieved or accomplished 5 years from now?
Look, I had a dream to become the male Oprah. Like, I mean, I want to bring the people joy, and I mean, to the conversations, and you know, I want to build my brand in that respect that I can interview ordinary heroes like yourself, and people can learn, they can be empowered, they can be inspired with them. So like, that's a one thing. Secondly, I can quickly say this to you. I'm preparing myself for the second world record that is involving the free fall, very high, breaking the speed record of fall, and so I'm working those two things next 2 years, and next 5 years I want to become the new male Oprah.
Wow. In fact, actually, tell us about your first world record.
Very quickly, last year I decided to prove that impossible is possible. So I wanted to break the record in longest audio live broadcasting. So I started there, lasted 55 hours, 25 minutes, nonstop talking, no sleeping, nothing, nothing, nothing. So that was last year. So I was on a radio line 90.5. I have a good support there. Many people actually let me down. They told me they're going to come in 2 o'clock in the morning for the interviews. They didn't come. So it was like 2 days, two nights, and another, 2 days, two nights. And I finished the third day, 7 o'clock at night. And I was lost there. So that was my Guinness World Record. So I proved that impossible, it's possible. And they told me to do, not to do it, because I'm going to embarrass myself. Exactly for the same reason. You speak three dialects of Chinese, and I was doing everything on English. So it was a good people there who stood by me, and they took it extra hours to talk to me, because some, I would say like a 40%, 50% people didn't show up. So 55 hours, 75 minutes, Guinness World Record. You can do it better, guys. If I can do it, you can do better.
Wow,
Yeah.
guys, that is how inspiring is that? That
Thank
is
you.
wow. I have so many questions just from that, which we'll leave to off air. But what's one big takeaway that you've had recently, Mario, that has changed the way you see the world or changed the way you show up?
Never give up, eh? You know, like, the thing is, never give up on your dreams. And after all, when people say to do it or not do it, if you don't do it, you're never gonna know what's gonna be on the other side. It doesn't matter you think you're gonna fail, you're gonna succeed. You need to go towards that goal, whatever that it is. I say always look above the board legally, right? So whatever this it is, believe in yourself and go after this what you like most. You know, don't sit at home and watch TV all day, you know, like and cry away your destiny. So I decided several years ago, I'll be precise, 2019, my son has a brain surgery. Now it's healthy, no epilepsy. He studied medicine. I'm very proud of him. And I said to myself, we did it all together, but he did it and showed me that it's possible, right? So believe in you and just go for your dreams. Whatever that they are, just chase your dreams.
Wow, with a dad like you, I'm not surprised you have a son that resilient.
He's my
That's
best. He's my
great.
best teacher. He's my better teacher. He's a better man than I'm ever gonna be.
That is beautiful.
Thank you, Phoebe.
If you could leave the world with one message, and it was your final message to the world, what would that be?
Live your life. Don't wait. Don't wait nothing. Just live your life. Live your life. It's gonna end one way or another. We all go into the same direction. I mean, and that is, you know, our ending our life. So live your life and live the legacy. Legacy is something I always talk about very hard, but live the life, breathe. You know, people don't understand one thing, Phoebe. We die 20,000 times per day. Apologies. 20,000 times per day we die. Every time when we exhale, it's a breath out. And you know, people say it's the last breath, and then we inhale again. So live your life, you know what I mean? Don't let last breath go out of you without living your life fully.
Amazing.
Plus,
Amazing.
if I say, and listen to this podcast, Inspired to Thrive, that's what I want to say.
Wow. Thank you so much,
You're welcome,
Mario.
Phoebe.
Thank you
No
for your
problem.
time, your wisdom, your humor, everything that you've shared. And for those that are listening, two things I want you to check out. Go on your favorite podcast streaming, platform, whether it's Apple or Spotify, and look up Life the Battlefield. It's an amazing podcast series. It is, it's Mario's esteemed podcast, but it's also, an insight into a world that many of us, well, some people fantasize about, and many of us have no understanding or idea about except through television shows and series, but this is real life stuff and brought to you by, a real life hero. So I highly recommend Life the Battlefield, hosted by Mario Bekas, and anyone that wants to have real conversations that dive deep into challenges of life and victories, definitely you want to tune in. And also, Mario, please, can you share with us how can we get our hands on your amazing book?
Look, the book I always recommend, not just because it's written by me, but I wanted to demonstrate through my book, Blood, Soak, Soil, which covers my life from the day I was born. And I remember first time kissing girl till my last day in a war. So the Blood, Soak, Soil actually covers, you know, my part growing up from the teenager to the serious, responsible, accountable man in a war. And I depict in that book that humans are not aware how powerful they are. You know what I mean? The body, the mind, the dreaming, and you know, that you can manifest things. So I highly recommend, guys, you don't need to buy the book. So I turned this book into the video, thanks
Oh.
to the lady called Alona. She was for me. So she put in a lot of effort to, you know, to put to a lot of videos from the war in Croatia. So please feel free, come on YouTube. Find me there, Life the Battlefield or Mario Bekas playlist. It's called The Blood, Soak, Soil. So enjoy all 20 plus episodes and be entertained. So be inspired yourself and take it what you need, what you don't need, don't worries. But, you know, take it away and what is good for you.
And it's also available on Kindle Unlimited as
That's great. Thank
well
you.
as Audible. So, Blood Soaked Soil, it's
Thank you.
from early life in communist Yugoslavia to the first months of war. An amazing
That's great,
book.
yeah.
And it's definitely in my Kindle library. So, yeah.
Thank
Thank
you
you,
so much, Phoebe.
Mario.
Appreciate it. Thank you so
And
much.
listeners, thank you so much for your loyalty, for tuning in, for listening to, these raw, these vulnerable, these funny, these also at times, unexpected conversations. Sometimes we go on rant on, tangents, but we really enjoy bringing you this show, and we hope you've enjoyed it too. Thank you so much, and look forward to sharing with you the next episode, another episode of Inspired to Thrive and Shine. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.